Major techniques for motivation research. Observation. Natural settings that reveal real behaviors, not claim preferences. The examples are restaurant observation versus your service insights. This is useful for studying usage patterns, interactions, and decisions. Focus groups, another way. Small groups, you don't give them much direction. You give them direction in like moderation try to create spontaneous interactions between the research group members. Mutual reinforcement reveals deep motives, not surface responses. What are the major techniques for motivation research? Let's look at the other one, which is depth interviews. One-on-one storytelling, role play, association technique. One visual stimuli to evoke feelings, memories, symbolism, notes, transcripts, and uncover hidden attitudes and emotional triggers. So these are the major techniques for motivation research. Now in the digital age, there are different motivations and planner implications. Smartphones. Shopping is instant. There's a lot of comparison that you can do. Okay, this product versus that product. There are these micro moments where, you see this one feature that is highlighted better in this phone than the other phone. Even though both phones have the same feature, my decision is going to be based on, at that point of time, what am I looking at? Now, a very interesting thing is when it comes to demographics, we have been living in a world where, okay, what is near me? What is the nearest barbershop near me, which gives me a haircut for less than 700 rupees? That's the best way to kind of figure out where do you want to go? How much time do you have? This decision is also made on the basis of the time that you have during the day. Then after that, another motivation and planner implication during the digital age is that social proof is now leading to advertising, reviews, blogs, and influencer-derived trust. Video content is building an emotional connection. If you are laughing at something, or even if you, for a bad example, but even if you cringe at something, you might find that cringe content is leading to a product or a product or a restaurant or a service which you think that, oh, because of that cringe thing, I remember this and now I'm going to go shop at this place. Digital age motivation, let's look at ZMOT. Here decisions happen even before the shelf, via online research. Planners must now use personalization to match motives. Create rich digital touchpoints to replace in-store experiences. The use of AI analytics kind of helps you predict and map journeys. We identify moments of struggle and trigger motivation at the right time. What is product involvement here? Involvement is when your personal relevance and importance is attached to the project. What is product involvement here? Involvement is when personal relevance and importance is attached to a product purchase. High involvement leads to deliberate, informed, emotional decision making. Low involvement, quick, habitual, low risk decisions. This is two-dimensional also. High versus low consumer involvement, high versus low purchase involvement. A smartphone equals to high involvement. You're going to compare, you're going to review, you're looking at a lot of prices and everything. And even when you walk into a store, you're going to compare this phone to that phone, even to the weight and even to the size of the phone in your hand. But in the other case, a snack choice, you're not going to think that much. You reach a store and see that there is a Blue Lays and there are some other form of chips, and you're going to go for the Blue Lays, but you're not going to think about much. If he doesn't have the Blue Lays, you'll take the other chips, right? So that's how it works over there. Now, look at the dimensions of involvement here. There are two key dimensions, and one is the involvement of the consumer. How actively a person thinks, compares, and feels about a certain product category. Then the involvement of the purchase. What are the stakes? How much money am I spending? What is the cost? And what are the consequences of that specific decision? High involvement that exists when the product affects its identity, its value, or lifestyle. Low involvement exists when choices become routine or convenience driven. Low involvement exists when choices become routine or convenience driven. Situational versus enduring involvement. This is now, this involvement is when it's temporary related to specific circumstances. Now, for example, you're in Goa and you had a very expensive frame, like a Ray-Ban or something like that, sunglasses, and you've lost it. Now, are you going to be in Goa and buy a Ray-Ban again in Goa, or are you going to go for a cheaper product? just so that it's easier on your pocket, and at the same time, you don't want to lose the cheaper product, the expensive product again, so you buy a cheaper product. This is a great example of buying a product because of an occasion or necessity. A lot depends on, especially if it's the wedding season in Mumbai and you need to buy hair wax. You're not going to sit online and you're going to select a hair wax that needs to come to you, that will come to you the next day, right? You'll walk down to the medical store. So it is important for that hair wax to be in the medical store at that point of time. Now, situational versus enduring involvement. Long-term interests. Enduring involvement is when, you have a long-term interest in the product category. This could be the kind of whey protein that you buy. Whey protein is one very good example, is that you trust that whey protein. For the longest time, you're going to keep buying that. You know, this is extended across situations and time. Because even if you're in Delhi, you can buy the same whey protein. Even if you're in Bombay, you can buy the same protein. And this could span across 2 years. Now, this reflects a deeper emotional or personal value. It's like, this brand I trust. It delivers quick on time. I always get good taste. There's strawberry, there's chocolate. You know, they also have Oreo cookie shake or something like that. So these are the choices we make according to due to an enduring involvement with a certain product. Now, how do you measure the product involvement? You obviously get it through questionnaire surveys, asking questions like, why do you buy this certain whey protein? What appeals to you? What about the packaging or taste appeals to you? These are the kind of questionnaires and questions in the questionnaires and surveys that you will get. How many times a year do you buy it? Have you ever bought more than just 1 kilo? Do you buy 2 or 3 kilos and keep at a time? So this is the kind of behavior that we try to get by understanding or by measuring product involvement rather. Another way to do it is means end chain. This connects the product attributes to the consequences and then to the personal values. This reveals why, features of a certain product matter. It's not just what the features are. One will always buy a Samsung or an iPhone because of its camera. This is a long-term investment, right? I mean, and it's a lifelong connection. You see very few times somebody from a Samsung switches to an Apple or somebody from an Apple switches to a Samsung, because they're used to that interface. They're used to all the features already available there. There is also another technique. It's called laddering to uncover value linkages. Why involvement matters in planning? This determines how much information consumers seek before buying. This influences your message strategy, emotional storytelling versus simple reminders. This affects your media choices, whether it's long format content or short format, tactical communication. This reveals psychological needs. It's attached to products. It helps planners to translate product features into meaningful value propositions. It supports segmentation based on motivation patterns and not just demographics. Now, how do you go from motivation to involvement? Now, motivation creates desire. Involvement directs effort towards the goal. Involvement reflects the importance of the product to the consumer's life, and it answers deeper questions. What needs does the product need to fill? How does it support self-image or identity? Does it symbolize security, confidence, or belonging? What are the links to personal psychology with purchase behaviors, and brand choices? It also helps build positioning that aligns with underlying motivations. Now, let's talk about the evolving context of involvement. Digital experiences reshape how involvement is expressed. Consumers now evaluate products through online research, reviews, and social signals. You can compare every product that you want to buy. Now with AI, though, it's even more easier. You don't even have to go onto a website. You just tell ChatGPT that I'm looking for headphones in a range of 600 to 900. Show me the best 3 headphones available for this, and ChatGPT will do it for you. Then, what is the personalization and the rich content and interactive tools of effort of putting in the effort to buying something? Planners must also understand which attributes matters most, how consumers interpret them, how these connect deeper goals and aspirations. This enables your repositioning, new product opportunities, and effective campaign briefs. Now, why maintaining and expanding the target market matters? Let's discuss this. So first of all, loyal customers are valuable, but they can still switch brands. You know, there is no control over what action do consumers do. Some consumers, they try the brand once, others drift away over time. Like I was a big OnePlus fan, but then that turned into Samsung about two or three years back when I realized that Samsung is a way more dependable product and Samsung supports their phone for a little longer. You know, then you have to see that this also gives you a continuous understanding of the target markets and it ensures relevance. This requires tracking needs, satisfaction levels, and competitor offerings. This helps planners to shape the communication, strengthens the retention, and drives new consumers growth. Now these are the key questions for ongoing consumer analysis. This is to maintain and grow the market. Planners should regularly answer this. Who buys the product or service today? What value proposition is currently offered? What competition is promising on the delivery? How is the client differentiated? Which channels best reach audience? What drives repeat purchase? And who else has the problem, and has the problem been solved? How frequently will the product be purchased? Now, here are strategies to grow within the existing market. Increase the buy rate. Encourage more future purchases from existing consumers. Use bundling, upselling, loyalty points, free samples. Identify consumers who could purchase more often through behavioral tracking. What are the strategies to grow within the existing market? You know, you can increase the pack size, communicate better values, convenience, and savings. Blinkit does that. If I order, you know, an ice cream, a blueberry cheesecake ice cream, I always notice that they're giving me two for a little better rate. Use targeted messaging to audiences likely to benefit from larger packs. Now, if I'm ordering ice cream on Blinkit and I see a picture of a family sitting around ice cream and having it together, I'm directly going to go and buy that because it solves my problem. I have guests over, people are more, so I'll order a family pack ice cream. Then there is a trade up. You know, you need to move current buyers to premium offerings. That is what YouTube and ChatGPT and all these platforms are doing really well. They say that, you know, we are going, so ChatGPT, for example, they say this is the basic model. Here you can get your questions answered, but this is the pro model where your image quality is going to be much better. You can download at a high pixel rate, etc., etc. So then there is expanding usage, you know, your light, medium versus heavy usage. You need to understand that market too. Understanding usage, rare segmentation. Heavy users, you know, they lead to major share of the sales, so that's important and it has a high long-term value. Medium users, there's potential for growth with the right incentives. My subscription with ChatGPT is a great example for that. I was using ChatGPT at medium usage, you know, but then I started using it more and more and more, and ChatGPT started sending me ads and started telling me that, you know, you can upgrade to the pro model. So now I have a subscription of the pro model. Then light users, like I'm a very light user of something like, you know, Zomato. I don't order much. But time to time when I'm traveling or when I'm outside the office or something like that, and I'm at somebody else's office, I need to order from there. So I use Zomato like that. Let's understand the planner's role here. Okay. You have to identify the barriers limiting the usage of your certain product. You have to tailor the communication for each segment very particularly. You have to highlight benefits that resonate with the usage behaviors. Then obviously there is strategy. Then there are strategies for market expansion. The penetration strategy. Introduce lower initial prices or offers to attract new customers. This Jio is doing very well right now. Jio is giving you a prepaid pack for 350 rupees and telling you you're getting Google Plus, you know, with 2 TB and Gemini Pro and all that for just 349 for 18 months. That's the best way to get people on to buy their product, which is, you know, your Jio SIM card or whatever it is. Then, you know, what is useful for new products or competitive categories? There must be a balance of volume gains with long-term profitability. I don't know, like right now, how Jio is going to tackle that 18 months down the line. They are now, since they're offering a 35,000 package just for 350 rupees. I don't know, 18 months down the line, when my subscription to Gemini Pro is over, how Jio is going to deal with it. Maybe, you know, that's something that you have to take care of, and you have to understand profitability at that time. The increase the pie strategy, expand the overall market by converting non-users, identify unmet needs and design offerings that reduce barriers to entry. So this is, you know, mutual funds do this very well. First of all, they have an ad that keeps playing, mutual funds sahi hai. If you're a small investor initially, you know, you make some profit and you feel good about it, then you know, your mutual fund starts selling you bigger pieces of the pie. That invest in this, not just in debt, but also in these industries and these tech industries and defense sector, etc., etc. So this is how increase the pie strategy works in real time. Now let's go to the need-based segmentation. This, we have to understand the context. Now let's understand the need state-based segmentation. Here we have to understand the context-driven needs that influences brand choice. We have to recognize the multiple need states within the same consumer. Design targeted messaging for each need state, convenience, indulgence, efficiency. Now, post-COVID, imperatives for market growth. We had to rethink retention strategies as consumers now switched brands way more easily. Accelerated digital behavior demands stronger online journeys and seamless experiences. Granular customer understanding became essential for motivations, contexts, and channel preferences. Technology and analytics now had to guide decisions, not just intuition. This empowered teams to act quickly on insights and personalization for new offerings. Why understanding reasons for buying matters most? Now, every purchase is driven by a deeper emotional plus rational decision making process. This helps planners to uncover what truly motivates consumers beyond surface behavior. This identifies both functional, price, features, convenience, and emotional status, identity, reassurance drivers. This predicts how often consumers buy what categories, products that they choose. This informs portfolio decisions, which products to strengthen, retain, or reposition. This enables campaigns that align with real decision triggers. Now, key questions behind consumer buying decisions. This to understand buying behavior, why they buy, emotional and rational motivations behind the choice, how often they buy, frequency patterns that shape media and a promotional strategy, what they buy, specific SKUs or services preferred within the product range, where they buy it, preferred channels, whether it's retail, it's e-commerce or hybrid models, where they get the information, peer reviews, influencers, search engines or social media. I mean, who's going to deny the fact that today most of our decisions on buying stuff is by reading reviews? I'll tell you an incident. You know, there was a certain fitness app and diet app that was released by a big company. It was very new and they marketed it very strongly, and I downloaded the app and I started to use it. They said, all you have to do is take a picture of the food and we'll tell you how many calories are in it and how much protein, how many carbs are in it. And I tried that app. And I tried that app for about 7 days and it was terrible. I would take a picture of something and I had to just keep uploading that picture the entire time. If there was a certain food that I had to select from the drop-down menu, the screen wouldn't work properly. So I left a very scathing review in the Google Play Store for that app. And there was a agency that called me, okay, emailed me and said, take down a review. Your review is affecting our sales. And I was like, what the hell? They offered me a lot of stuff and I was like, okay. So this is how much reviews affect our buying today. That companies are actually placing agencies to make consumers take down the negative reviews. Then we have to go ahead and understand who are we buying for, you know, distinguished between the user, the purchaser and the influencer. The target triangle, users, purchasers and influencers. This is a single customer often splits into three distinct groups. The user, the person who directly consumes or uses the product. The purchaser, the person who pays for it or makes the final buying decision. And the influencer, the person who shapes opinions, preferences and brand choices. This has become an integral part of your sales strategy, your marketing strategy. Each group has different expectations, motivations, and pain points. It is essential to identify whether these groups overlap or diverge. That's a very difficult job. And then this kind of helps planners to design messaging that appeals to each link in the chain. It's crucial in categories like technology, children's products, education, and healthcare. Let's take a look at the complicated but ever-evolving modern consumer journey. First of all, where are you getting your awareness? For most products today, we are getting awareness on a physical billboards when we are driving down the highway, or internet, which is the most primary way to create awareness about certain products. And then your findability. Where can I find it? Have I heard it from, is it an organic search? Did I go out? Has this store popped up on my Google Maps? Using near me in your searches. Then there's reputation. I gave you an example of how I single-handedly almost ruined the reputation of a company by leaving a negative review. Your blogs and articles. What are people talking about certain products? There's Reddit. There are other blogs where you can talk about, the usage of certain products and services. Your conversion. The purchase, where you come to the website, your online booking, purchase via app. And finally, your experience, post-purchase. What am I doing with a certain product that I bought? If I bought a nice pair of gym gloves, and I feel comfortable with it, wearing it in the gym, I want to tell my friends about it. This is a very nice product. So I'll post it on social media. That is the best form of marketing right now that, certain agencies and clients will look for with their product. Now let's target consumer profiling, purpose and importance. Now, once the marketing target is defined, a detailed profile humanizes the segment, It provides clarity on who to reach, how to reach. Now, this is like a dream come true for creatives. Now, as a creative myself, in a way, I kind of really hope that I know whom I'm talking to. For a game like football in India, for me, when I market like a FIFA World Cup or a UEFA Champions League or a La Liga, Serie A for that matter, what I want to know is who am I talking to, So for the Euro Cup, which happened in 2016, I was told very clearly by my marketing team that we are going to target the fence sitter, the guy who watches cricket, but is very likely to watch football and can become a football fan. So our messaging and communication went to those people who are cricket fans, but they will enjoy football. We were asking them to switch from cricket to football for a period of 2 or 3 months and enjoy the process, enjoy the tournament. So this ensures, effective allocation of budgets across channels and touch points. This enhances the relevance of advertising, pricing, distribution, and product decisions. It makes the creative brief sharper, reducing waste, communication effort. Now let's look at the approach to building a target consumer profile. The psychographic approach, the lifestyle, the interests, the attitudes, values, and social class. For example, your cricket fans are very different from football fans. Now cricket fans will meet for snacks at a certain pub or maybe a restaurant to watch a cricket game that happens between 7 in the evening to 11 in the night. But your football fans will be more active during a Champions League night at 2 o'clock on your social media, posting about that kind of stuff. So this is where you understand how to target various kinds of customers, Then there is a consumer typology approach, the loyal, discount-driven, impulsive, and need-based consumers. Right now, FanCode, a company, is doing a really great job because they are selling certain tournaments at a certain price rate. It's not like I go and subscribe to the entire FanCode service. What I do is I want to watch a certain tournament. I pay 49 rupees for that tournament. I get 4 matches. So that's the best way to see. It's discounted also, and it's kind of impulsive because I want to watch that tournament at that point of time. Then there is a characteristics-based approach, the convenience-driven, connectivity-driven, personalization-driven buyers. Your Rapido is kind of dependent on that because, yes, there was a boom with Uber and Ola and all this, but Rapido has come in with bikes and was the first one to do bikes, right? So my office is about 10 minutes away from my home. For me, Rapido makes sense. There is a little bit of risk involved. But if I'm not getting an auto for the first 3-4 minutes, I'll book a Rapido bike and I'll be on my way to work. So this is how convenience-driven and connectivity-driven personalization happens when it comes to buying. The approach is to building a target customer. What is the profile? These profiles include at least five attributes each, from demographics, psychographics, geography, behavior patterns, and consumption patterns. Then there are these modern digital profiling tools, you know, AI-driven platforms. They create dynamic, real-time consumer profiles. These tools include, obviously, we've discussed this, Google Analytics, Facebook Audience Insights, and CDPs. How to track browsing patterns, purchase intent and content engagement. If you search once, you know, dentist office near me, you'll see that you entered in Google, but on your Instagram now, all you're getting are dental ads. Get your teeth whitening done, fix your teeth with braces, and this kind of stuff, you know. So it's like sometimes we get very suspicious, like, was I thinking about that? Okay, yeah, I was thinking about that day. I Googled it, and here, there is an ad here like that. Then there is hyper-personalization messaging and segmentation. All this, they help planners to understand constantly evolving digital behaviors. Thank you. Okay.